Ephesians chapter number 1. This morning, Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You find that, stand. We'll read a few verses of Scripture together. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought or worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, our Savior, Jesus, our Comforter, Holy Spirit, three in one. One God, such power, such such manifestation, such glory. I pray now that You meet with us in this humble place and give us the filling of Your Spirit. Guide us today. I pray You choose to anoint us with Your presence and bless us. I pray that You would help us to focus upon Your coming again. And Your presence now. I trust You'll forgive my sin this morning. And You'll supply the strength, the courage, the freedom, the liberty to speak, to think, to be what You want us to be. I ask it all now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. Actually, that whole chapter is what we ought to be reading, but I knew you couldn't take the reading of it all, so I slashed it. The Apostle Paul is giving glory to Jesus Christ, where our glory ought to be. And especially this time of year, when we think about Christmas, and oh man, we're so busy, with all the lights and all the symbols and all the things that are going on, and what can we get so-and-so, and what shall we do for this one, and so on and so on. And we oftentimes fail to realize the greatest gift given to man, Jesus Christ. He came for our sins. He became sin for us. I think I alluded to that on Wednesday evening about how horrible it was for Him to become sin who knew no sin. But He did it for your sake. He did it out of His great love for you and for me. But we find here in these few verses, we find the fullness of Him, the title message, the fullness of Him. We're speaking about Jesus, the fullness of Him. He says in verse 22, He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You better read that again. Verse 23, He says the church is His body, present on earth. He's the head, present in heaven. The church is His body, which is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now you better think about it a minute. He said the church is His body. He said the church is filled with His fullness. But then you better go back and think about the definition of church. And you find the word ekklesia. Oh boy, I tell you how brilliant I am. I know that one word. And it means a gathering or an assembly for a specified purpose. The church is a gathering or an assembly of born again, scripturally baptized children of God for a specific purpose. The Father is pleased with those who seek to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He seeketh such to worship Him. And He says, as He called out Israel in the wilderness, He calls out His church and He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake not the building of the ecclesia as you bring your part, your spiritual gift, and your piece of the body to make a whole body. Let me illustrate. I have a shaker of salt. You can see that, can't you? The white in that shaker. Look at that. Look here. I'm going to take one grain. Actually, I have three grains on my finger. Can you see that? You can't see that. Where'd it go? I have no idea. But it's part of the body. Look here. I've got five or six grains in that finger. Can you see that? You can't see that. Where'd they go? I have no idea. But they're not in this assembly right here. They're not in this assembly. You and I are talked about as being salt of the earth. We're as a grain of sand, a grain of salt. One grain equals one saint, one child of God that's born again, scripturally baptized, member of the Lord's church. Here's about 25 or 30 on that end of that finger. But now who knows where they are? They're not in this assembly. They're not part of this assembly, so they're not part of this body at the present time, because all of these people are assembled together in this building. You see that? When we bring what we are or have many in our family and we bring them and we place them in that assembly, then we have a visible body, of individual, born again, scripturally baptized, members of this local body, which is called Southwest Baptist Church. There we are. We have brought our grain of salt and placed it in the assembly place. And now we have a whole body. But you better watch this. We're talking about the fullness of Him. And He says that He hath put all things under His feet, under the feet of Jesus, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, to that assembly. All things over that assembly. The power of whatever you need. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I will supply every need that you have, physical, emotional, spiritual needs, found right there. He said, I will supply it all. The fullness of Christ. We see the fullness of Him in that body right there. Why? Because you bring your spiritual gifts. You bring your spiritual gifts. You may be the fingers. You may be the toes. You may be the leg, the arm. But you're certainly not the whole body. You're only one grain of the salt. You're only one member in this assembled body. You are not the body. I am not the body. I'm part of the body. Notice what He says right here. He says, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. That ecclesia, that assembly, that putting together of that ecclesia, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe Jesus is a little bit dependent upon us. He is a little bit dependent upon us. Because when we fail to assemble in this ecclesia, we deny His ability to show His fullness and His power throughout this entire body. We would be better off having 10 members and all 10 present exhibiting the fullness of that body than to have 1,000 members and only 90 present. It limits the manifestation of the fullness of God in His body. Do you see that? It does. Because we say, well, it doesn't matter if I go to church or not. What only matters is that I love God. Here you are. Where are you? I have no clue. Here is the assembly. Here I can see the visible body. Here God promises His fullness and His glory. Somebody says, boy, the church just doesn't seem like it used to be. Maybe that's because we are not as faithful and loyal as we used to be. Maybe that's because we're not assembling like we used to. Maybe we have limited God and we think that God has limited us. We think God has denied us. We think God has backed away or the preacher has lost power or the deacons or the church body. There's something wrong here. There certainly is. We have taken those grains of salt and those members and we do our own thing. We do not assemble and give God an opportunity to manifest His fullness. I find all throughout Scripture, you find in the book of Galatians chapter 4, one of the times of the year we think about Jesus coming, we think about His birth, we think about the reason He came for the death, burial, resurrection, to die for us. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, but in the fullness of time, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, when every minute, every hour, every day, every week, and every month was fulfilled, at just the right moment, God sent His Son. He wasn't early, He wasn't late. He's just right on time. Right in the fullness of time. Boy, I like that. And so Jesus had a purpose, and He came. Why didn't He come when... in our lifetime, because in the fullness of time, God had it prescribed. And the fullness of time. And then you think about Him being in the fullness of filling the body, the church. It's just right. If you lack some grains, as in this shaker, you can see it's only about 3/4 full. It's not completely full. There's some salt that is lacking here. There's some individual grains that are not present here. In fact, if I take one grain out and just one at a time and throw it on the carpet, I can't even find it. But when it's assembled together, it's visibly present. I hope you get that. It took me many years to learn that. And I hope you get that and understand that. We are missed. We are needed. We are, as members of the body of Christ, we are limiting His fullness, limiting His manifestation, limiting His glory, limiting what can be done and should be done when we fail to build the assembly. And that's what I want you to get. But I want you to see fullness. Three things and I'll be finished. I want you to see the fullness. That's the key word, is fullness. The shaker's not full, it's 3/4 full. But we're talking about the fullness of God, the all in all of Almighty God. We talk about the fullness of Him in the Godhead. We talk about the fullness of Him in the church. And then we talk about the fullness of Him in heaven. Three things. Now I know I've been going over the Trinity lately and trying to explain to you by way of using your own body how God is three in one. And I don't want to repeat, but that's part of the process. I want you to notice that He said in Ephesians chapter 1, hang with me just a moment, in verse number 3, Paul writes and he says, blessed be the God, praised be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who hath caused us to be happy, who hath caused us to be favored, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when everything has come together and now we we have filled it up and it's just right, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That may not mean what you think it means. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. If it's not done for the glory of Christ, then it doesn't need to be done. If it's not giving glory to the one who died for us in flesh and blood on the cross, then it's no value to God whatsoever. So he says that in the age of the fullness of times, when he gathers all things together, you say that's the rapture. Not necessarily. It takes place in the same period of time. But he's talking about bringing everything together in Christ. Some people seem to think we have three gods. There's a Father, a Son, a Holy Spirit. That's not so. We have one God manifested three personalities. You're one person manifest in three personalities. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. Your spirit can tell the difference between the soul and the spirit. Your soul can tell the difference between your spirit and the soul. And of course your body. You have five senses of the body, you have emotions of the soul, and you have conscience of God in the spirit when you're born again. I showed you a few weeks ago, and it would be well for you to listen to that message on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We talked about the word being a divider. We talked about the word being able to discern between the spirit, the soul, and the body. Sometimes we blame Satan for all of our problems when it's really not Satan at all. It's the Adamic flesh that we live in. It's the fact that we desire sin and we long for it in our old flesh. The spirit is born again and it doesn't desire that. And Paul said, when I would do good, when I have a conscience for God and I would do good, evil is present with me. Doesn't mean Satan evil. It means evil myself. My flesh, my evil thoughts, my flesh hinders me from doing God's will in the spirit. So you have three personalities in you and two of them are opposed to you doing God's will. Only one carries you in that direction. So be careful. And so I illustrate God in that fashion. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three personalities, but one God. And the difference is God is without sin, of course, and God is supernatural, but we're made in His image and likeness. One day when the rapture resurrection comes, your body will be made perfect like the body of Jesus, and your soul will be made perfect. No more evil thoughts, no more problems with the emotions now. Everything is in line with the Spirit. What a day of rejoicing that will be. He says here, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In other words, we, like John the Baptist said, we're going to see Him as He is. John said it this way in the first chapter of John. In verse 15, John said, John bare witness of Him, of Christ, and cried, saying, this was Him of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. Here's the person of Jesus. He says, he that cometh after me is preferred. John was 6 months older than Jesus. They were related. And notice he says, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. John shows his preeminence. John shows the not the beginning, but John shows his dwelling long before John. John understood it. John got it. This Jesus that was born 6 months after me actually lived long before me. He had a pre-existence. He was Messiah. He was Jehovah God. He was the Lord. And John writes of him here and he says, for he was before me. And in verse 16 he says this, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. His preexistence, his preeminence, his person. John talks about it. The fullness of him we have received. The pleroma, the sum total of all the attributes and powers of God. Every believer is given all that he needs in that supply, grace for grace. God has it all. The fullness have we all received. Verse 16, John 1:16. And grace for grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God that all we need is in Jesus Christ Himself. That's what John is saying. That's what Paul said back in the first chapter of Ephesians. Paul said the same thing. All we need know is Jesus Christ. Having made known the mystery of His will in Ephesians, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ. He gives us the plan. All things are going to be in Christ. When we get to heaven, are we going to see three personalities of God? We're going to see one. We're going to see our Lord Jesus. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What else is there to see? And the Holy Spirit of God gathering together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. I want you to see the fullness of Him in the Godhead. I have several passages. I don't think it's necessary to use them all this morning, but I want you to see Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to read with me from verse 9. Colossians 1:9. I want you to see the fullness of Jesus Christ in the Godhead. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here, boy, here's a key for Christian people today. If you want to know what the key of life is, it's understanding God and what His will is for your life. If you want to be a happy individual, it's not about going to Cabela's or Neiman Marcus or any place like that, or down to the Ford dealership and paying cash for your vehicle and being happy. It's not about those things. It's about knowing God. It's about knowing His will. And it's about being able to have the spiritual understanding of using what God wants you to do in life. There's true happiness. There's peace and there's joy forevermore. Desiring that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, oh, here's your strength, according to His glorious power. Lord, I'm fixing to go, I'm about to go to court. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm frightened. I need your help. Will you give me strength? Will you guide me? Will you give me wisdom? Will you just take away the fear and give courage? I'm going to tell you, God's going to do it. He's going to do it. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Unto all patience. Need patience. Long suffering with joyfulness. Boy, I prayed for patience. Some of you know what my situation is now. I've never been one who bragged on patience. Never been one who claimed to have any patience. Never cared about having any patience. Now I need patience. I need patience desperately. When the question is asked 47 times, the same question in an hour, and now I need patience, God supplies. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, God supplies. He does. Oh, what a God we serve. He's interested in the battles of war around the world. He's interested in that nations uphold His purpose and His plan and His will, and He deposes of kings and takes them off the throne and puts others in their place and rulers and leaders over nations. God manipulates in order that His will, His purpose will be fulfilled. And yet, God supplies my need. No matter how small, no matter how great, God is interested in me. You know why? Because I'm one of those fellows right in there. I can't find me exactly, but it's right in there somewhere. I'm one of those. And God manifests His fullness in His body, the church. I'm one of those. You're one of those at Southwest Baptist Church. This doesn't represent all the churches in the world. This represents Southwest Baptist Church. Because it's a local, visible body. You say, well, I'm a member of the invisible body of Christ. Okay, show it to me. Well, it's invisible. Exactly. It doesn't exist. Only the visible body exists. No matter how large or how small, God said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. As long as they're faithful. As long as they're loyal. There He is. So I'm showing you the fullness of Him, of Jesus, in the Godhead. And I got down to verse 11. He gives us patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Notice verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. He's rendered us fit, made us significant to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Satan has no hold on you. Child of God, don't say, devil made me do it. He can't force you to do it. He can dangle the carrot, but he cannot force you to take a bite. You do it because you want to. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Thank God. In whom? In Jesus. We have, present tense, continuous possession. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Continuous, we have, present, redemption through His blood. Verse 15, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Remember what He said in John? Thomas, you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Does that mean Jesus is the Father? No, it doesn't mean Jesus is the Father, but it means He's the image of the Father. Look in the mirror. What do you see? I see an image of Me. Well, what's there? Well, there's a body, soul, and spirit there. You can't see them all, but they're there. Look in the mirror at yourself. What do you see? I see this image. Body, soul, and spirit. Jesus says He is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn or the preeminent of every creature. For by Him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He's before all things. And by Him, all things consist. That word means held together. Hey, listen. The polar caps are not going to melt and flood out Florida and the Texas Gulf Coast and Louisiana. The polar caps are not going to melt and flood out anywhere. They're held in check by Jesus Christ Himself, who makes all things consist. He holds them together. And He's limited the seas as to where they can go and where they can't. He knows every grain of sand on the beaches and every hair on your head. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body. This church, local visible. Who's the boss here? Who's the boss? Jesus Christ is. He's the head of it. He's the head of the body, the church, the ecclesia, the assembling together. Wait a minute. Let's do this one more time. Here's a grain of salt And now it's gone, and I could never find it myself. The only way it's going to get back in here is if it comes back and joins up. I can't find it. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the assembly. He's the fullness of all. He's the beginning. The Bible says literally the word beginning here means the origin, means the first one. Jesus said about himself in the book of Revelation, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am the original. I'm the origin of everything. I'm the beginning of everything. Wow. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Are you with me? I'm in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Please the Father in who? In Jesus. Jesus has this body. And like the Holy Spirit lives in this body, I can't see the Holy Spirit, but I know He's there. Boy, He speaks with me. Especially when I get in the book, the Holy Spirit starts guiding and teaching and wooing and helping. Jesus is in the body, but the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son Jesus, are present in that body. The fullness of Him. That's what He means here. It pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Look in chapter 2, verse 9. For in Him, in Jesus, dwelleth, that word dwelleth, katoike. Man, I'm so brilliant. Katoike. That's a Greek, a little Greek. Katoike. It means to be at home. It means down, showing purpose and permanence. It shows permanence. For in Him dwelleth permanence, permanently. Oh, it's not a temporary thing. Man, you travel between here and Dallas and you get all these construction signs and all these big orange barrels and pylons and all kinds of things. And this week you go by and they're on this side and they funnel you this way. Next week you go by, they're pushed over to the other side and you're funneled the other way. And they're only temporary. But katoike, for in Him dwelleth. In Him is permanence. In Him is at home the fullness of the Godhead. Well, what does that mean? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Oh, we only worship one segment of that when we talk about baby Jesus in the manger. It is a supernatural thing. It's a miracle. It's a wonderful thing. I'm so glad He was born, but He's not the babe anymore. And He's not the suffering Savior on the cross anymore. He's the King of kings in glory waiting to come back for me and you. And He is the fullness of the Godhead in the body. The fullness of Him. I hope you get that. The Godhead. The word Godhead in verse 9. Of Colossians. The word Godhead means a Trinity, the whole God, Elohim, three in one. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. The Godhead is a Trinity. All fullness means all three personalities as one. And so if you have just the Son, you've left out two other parts of the Trinity. If you don't have the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the three personalities of Elohim, God, in the flesh, then you don't have the full Godhead. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of means all the power, all the knowledge, being all present at the same time. How is God able to be here and in Africa at the very same moment? Because He's God? You're going to have to talk to Him about that. There's only so far I can go. I don't know. But what an amazing thing. We talk about the fullness of Him. We talk about the fullness of Him in the Godhead. Colossians 1, 9 through 19 and 2, 9. He's talking about the fullness. And by the way, that word fullness, I think I've given this to you on many occasions, but I'll do it one more time. It comes from the word pleroma. It's spelled P-L-E-R-O-M-A. Long E, long O. Pleroma. And it means this. We're talking about fullness. Pleroma. It means a fullness of the Godhead in Christ. And it means that in the body of Jesus Christ, as it was, God was in His fullness. God was God. Elohim. The triune God. God was in His fullness and not simply in His manifestation. In other words, the fullness of God, the triune God, didn't just manifest Himself outward from the body of Jesus. He was. That was God. That's the Elohim. That's our triune God, all one in together. The fullness of the Godhead in Jesus Christ means that in the body of Christ as it was, God was in His fullness and not simply in His manifestation. Jesus was fully God and fully man with a body. Jesus was not the Father. The Father was not Jesus. The Father was not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not the Father and not Jesus. Three distinct personalities, just like you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Imperfect, but it will all be perfect when we see Jesus. So you see the fullness of Him in the Godhead. I could take you to John chapter 1. I could take you to John chapter 17, where He talked about the Father having blessed Him in their pre-existence and manifesting His glory in their pre-existence. And now He's being glorified on earth to mankind. I won't go there, but I want you to get the second point. The fullness of Jesus in the church as the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, He talks about the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, how do you get a fullness out of the body of Christ? If you sever this arm, you have not only lost this arm, you've lost this hand, all the fingers on it, it's gone. If you sever this arm, same thing, it's gone. If you sever a leg, you know, you're whittling it down. You basically have a torso, you have a part of a body, but you don't have two arms and two hands and fingers. You're limited in its usefulness. This body cannot live up to its fullest potential. I can't reach down and get this thing right here. I can't move it. I can try to shove it with my legs and move it around, but I'm limited. If I'm going to try to eat something, someone's going to have to help me. I can bury my face in my fried chicken, but I can't bring my fried chicken to my mouth. I did see an individual the other day on one of the broadcasts that was born without arms and hands, using his foot like a hand. Boy, I guess you got to kind of grow into that. I could never do that. I could never get my foot past that right there. It's not going to come to my mouth for sure. But you're limited. What if you didn't have a foot? What if you had a prosthesis on the end of those legs? No toes to use and be able to use a brush or a pen or a fork or a spoon. You're limited. You still have a body, part of a body, but you're limited. Same way, when we limit Christ by our not being here, not assembling together, we are hindering the fullness of His ability to work, to move, to motivate, to give encouragement, to do all the things, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. When that fullness is not present, we've limited. It's like severing some of the limbs. Well, I'm not that important. You know, they can do all right without... No. Which one do you want to sever? How about chopping off a couple of your fingers? Which two do you want to go without? Well, now, wait a minute. Let me think about it. Yeah. They're valuable, aren't they? They're important. And so every one of you is valuable and important in the body of Christ. Whether you want to believe it or whether you understand it or not, that's the way it is. You're valuable. If you're born again, you're bringing the present tense of the Holy Spirit in you when you come and assemble together. And when we assemble, we have a visible body that has more power and more glory to God than one grain of salt out here by itself. The fullness of Him in the church. You find in Ephesians 1:23, we just read that. You find in Ephesians 3 and verse 19, it says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Oh, well, let's read on. Then the purpose here is that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, wouldn't it be great if you had every doubt strengthened, taken away. If you had every question in your mind or in your life answered with a specific direction, wouldn't that be great? Well, look at what he's saying here in Ephesians 3 and 19. Paul says that you might comprehend the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're filled with the fullness of God, don't you think you're going to have a supernatural presence? Don't you think you're going to be able to understand some leadership and some guidance here? Don't you think that your prayers are going to be answered? Don't you think that you will have a purpose that will shine brightly in your life? And you will have a passion then for direction. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, wait a minute, he says. I'm going to tell you how that happens. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You say, well, how am I going to be filled with the fullness of God and understand all these things? And then Paul takes a little clause here, a pause, and he says in verse 20, I'm going to tell you how that's possible. That the God who is able to do all things in an exceeding abundant manner, above everything that you ask or think, don't limit Him. According to the power that worketh in us. What power is that, preacher? Did you get saved? Yes, sir. Then there was a supernatural power that did that. Supernatural hand of the Holy Spirit made your dead spirit alive by the life of God. And now there's something glorious in you. Now there's something different about you. Now there's something supernatural about you. And it came by the power of God, not by your flesh and blood, not by your own way. And so he says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We oftentimes think that's about prayer. If I pray, God is able to do more exceeding abundantly above whatever I ask or think. No. Primary clause, he's talking about being filled with the fullness of God. In verse 19. And then he says, and notice there's not a period. It's not the end of the thought after verse 20. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, Holy Spirit, that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Unto him be glory in the church. What does it mean? It means there's a fullness of God in the body of Christ, in the local visible church when we gather together. When we scatter our way, we pour out all the salt out of the shaker. It's out of the box. It's scattered. We're gone. What happens when we come back? And the first one here puts his grain in here. The second puts his grain in. And so on, until now we have a visible body assembled together to worship God in power and glory. And God has chosen to manifest himself when he comes down and gives us direction through the preaching, gives us encouragement through the word, gives us a divine purpose by his Holy Spirit. And we understand, and it often comes by way of preaching, because God chose preaching to confound the foolishness of man. And it's by the foolishness of preaching God's chosen to save those that believe. The fullness of him in the church. His fullness is in contrast to the partial filling here. His fullness in the church. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Ephesians 4:11, Christ gave gifts to the church. He gave men gifts to the church. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For how long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, how long are these gifts going to last? I just told you. Until we come in the unity of the faith. When's that going to be? When Jesus comes. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Are you perfect yet? No, neither am I. Unto the measure of the stature, unto the measure of the person of the fullness of Christ. Oh my goodness. So you mean, yeah, we're in the fullness of Christ till he says here, that one day we're going to have a perfect body. We're going to be in unity. We're all going to be together. And it will be unto the measure. We're going to have a stature like the measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when that day comes, your soul, your self-consciousness, and all your emotions will not lead you and guide you. It'll be in perfect tune with the Holy Spirit of God, as your spirit is, that's born again, and your body will not be craving fleshly desires that will pull you astray, but the body, soul, and spirit will all be in unity in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Boy, you're talking about a glad day. He says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. These men were given to us to help us understand the scriptures and to learn and to be guided by them, that we not be tossed about like children who are here today and somewhere else tomorrow. But verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He's the head over the visible body. He's the head over the body. Even Christ, that we may grow up to be measured by his measurement, that we might grow up unto the stature of Christ. We oftentimes think, well, you know, I'm as good as the preacher is. I don't sin probably as much as he does. And you're probably right. We measure ourselves by ourselves. We get a hero in our life and we look at our hero and say, I wish I could be like him. I wish I could be like her if I could just get to another level. And that's how we measure. What about Jesus Christ? He's the true measurement. And we all fall short, way short of that. But we're going to be up there one day when he changes us and we have no more sin whatsoever. our soul and our body get in unity with the spirit that is born again. Wow. The fullness of him in the church. It only works when we are all together doing what's right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Look at it quickly. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Notice verse number 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. He's talking about the church, verse 29. For we are members of his body, his church, his flesh, and his bones. He says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, a marriage, husband and wife, is a very good picture of the relationship that we will have with Jesus Christ as his bride, his church, his body. He nourishes his body. He doesn't forsake his body. A husband doesn't forsake his wife. He provides for her. He loves her. And he woos her. And that's what Jesus does for us. There's a third and last thing. We're talking about the fullness of him, the Godhead. And then we talked about the fullness of him in the Godhead. We talked about the fullness of him in the church. Third, we have to talk about the fullness of him in heaven. Have you ever wondered when you get to heaven and you are in the presence of Almighty God, what you're going to see? Will you see Jesus on the throne? Will you see the invisible Father seated beside him? Where's the Holy Spirit? Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like in heaven and what you're going to see? Notice Revelation chapter 22 quickly. Revelation 22 verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus is the Lamb. The throne of God, Elohim, and the Lamb. The Lamb is included in that. Notice he says, in the midst of the street and on either side of the river was there 12 manner. That's not what I want. Look at verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb. He keeps including the Lamb. Why does he say that? Elohim is there. That's a triune God. The throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. Because without the Lamb, you'd never be present there. Without the Lamb, there's no hope for me and you. It's all about the Lamb. You remember what John said when Jesus came and during the baptism, he was down at the River Jordan and he saw him coming. He said to those that were around him, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He pointed him out. He said, here's the Lamb. Jesus suffered as a lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. We read it in the scripture. And here he keeps alluding to the fact that God is on his throne and the Lamb. And God is present and the Lamb. Why? Because it's all about the Lamb. It's all about the Lamb. Without the Lamb, there's nothing. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We'll see the nail prints in his hands. We'll see the place on his side where the spear was put through his side. We'll see the feet and the scars and the brow and the scars and no doubt the scars on his back. A lamb as it had been slain. The thing that Jesus will wear from the earth for all eternity to give testimony of the fact every time we see him, the scar. Alludes to the fact, I love you. The scars, I love you. I love you. The side, I love you. the Lamb suffered in my place and yours. Notice he says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Wait a minute. God specifically told Moses at one point when Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see who's leading us. And God told Moses, no man's ever seen my face and lived. You can't see my face. But Moses kept on insisting, and God said, okay. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and my backside will pass from you. You can't see my face, but you can see the backside. And that's all. But what a blessing. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see God face to face. Who is that? Who are we going to see? The Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. What we just read in Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians 1 and Colossians 2 and verse 9, that it pleased God that in Him, in the Lamb, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. We're going to see Jesus. Just like you look in the mirror and you see your image, when you look at Jesus, you will see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You understand? Yeah. Not three gods, one God. But one that is emphasized as the Lamb because of what He's done for you. Oh, we'll take our crowns and cast at the Lamb's feet. Oh, we'll willingly bow at His feet and call Him Lord and praise His name. Millions and millions and millions and millions of souls singing all at the same time, glory to the Lamb, for He is worthy. For He was slain, but now He lives. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. The fullness of Him in heaven. How great. You and I that are faithful here, I truly believe, as part of the local visible body of Christ, will have a special reward in heaven, a special one. It's not something to be cast aside or foo-fooed. You know, we have a problem after COVID last year getting everyone back in church at the same time. That should not be. It should be that you love the Lamb who sacrificed for you enough. That should be your motivating factor. And the fact that His fullness is in the body. His fullness, not in that invisible body, but in that visible body. And like we talked about, severing the limbs and the hands and so on. What parts do you want to do without? Your body is limited, and so is this body. The church is limited when she doesn't have all of her members present. Father, thank You for the Word. I trust and pray that You'll bless it to Your own purpose, Your own will, and Your own plan. I trust and pray that everyone here, Lord, is born again, saved, child of God. And if not, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, that they realize that they are sinners, as wicked as any sinners can be. Without the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, they are still sinners. God, I recognize that hell is their home and their destiny. Without trusting Christ, without believing Jesus Christ to save them, they're hell bound. I pray Your help, Your conviction, Your guidance. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.